We're continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Yoredeya, Chelek Beis, Hilchas Mila, Halacha Hey, paragraph Chof Aleph. V'zehu, now Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain, based on what we've been learning, a very important item that's presented in the Torah, that when the Jews would go out to battle, before they would go out to battle, they would be given a speech. And this is the speech that we're going to present here now. Shema Yisrael, listen, Jews. Atem krevim hayoim lamelchoma aloyevechem. You are approaching today a battle with your enemies. Al yerach levavchem. Do not allow your hearts to become soft and mushy. Al tiru, don't be afraid. Al tartsu mipneihem. Don't retreat from them in any way. V'chulu, etc. V'doshu Rabbi Seinu Zal, and the Gemara says regarding this, that why did they begin with those famous words, Shema Yisrael? So the Gemara says, Afilu ein bochem el eschus Shema Yisrael, that Hashem instructed the rabbis, the Kohanim, to tell the Jewish people that if the Yetzirah is going to tell you you're no good, you're not worthy of winning this battle, etc., etc., we're telling you that if you have only the merit, the schus, of the fact that you say Shema Yisrael twice a day, that's enough. That's enough to deserve to destroy and defeat your enemies. Hainu Kanal. This goes back to what we spoke about in the previous paragraph. Ki ikar ha-pachad mipnei ha-soinei ha-ben odom shua bal b'chira. Hurak machma sheyesh loy koyach lahatois chas v'sholem das ha'odom eno emes. The main fear and concern regarding a human adversary, a human enemy, who has free choice, is because of the fact that this human being has the ability to sway our thinking that we shouldn't think the truth. We should start making mistakes and think differently from what the truth really is. And by falling into sheker, by falling into not realizing the truth, that's how we could easily fall into the hands of our enemy, especially if we're talking about the Yetzirah, the evil inclination. Whereas a Jew who is strong, who is solid in his understanding of the truth and his faith in the truth, and the person is always focusing on their eternal goal, their true purpose in life, to the point where there's nobody who can cause me to deviate from the real truth, from the truth of all truths. There's nobody that can force me to veer off track from my faith in Hashem, my faith in tzaddikim, my loyalty to them, and my accepting their guidance and advice. Hu einoi misyorei mishum odom shebo'ilam. Such a person does not fear anybody in the world, doesn't have to be afraid of anybody. Kamei shekosuv, as the pasuk says, which we quoted earlier, which Dovra Melech says, Hashem li lo yira. Hashem is with me, I do not fear. Mayas el yodam, what could any person do to me? Ki be'emes, al pi pshutoi, koshe lehoven inyin ze, ma'ashom rabbeisenu, zichron avrocha, shemi bal b'chira, koshe lehinotzel, yoyser mecha yoyseroes. Rav Nosson Zal says, the truth is, that on the simple level, it's hard to understand what our rabbis tell us, that it's more difficult for a person to save themselves from a human adversary than it is from wild animals, from lions, tigers, snakes, scorpions. Ukemavura bezoyer kodesh parshas vayeshev ba'arichus inyan zeh, as the Zohar HaKodesh elaborates on this in Parshas Vayeshev, Daf Kuf Pehei, Umevisham, and the Zohar HaKadosh says there, Mikan Omru, that based on this, our rabbis have said, Yapil Barnash Garmei Le'esha, that a Jew should rather throw himself into a fire, or into a pit of snakes and scorpions, and he's better off than if he's given over into the hands of his enemy. V'chulu, etc. The Zohar HaKadosh continues to discuss it, and then goes on to say, Aval kevon deyismaser biyodo desanoi. However, once a person has been given over into the hands of his enemy, ze'irin inun deyochlan lishtezva. There are very few people who have the ability to escape. If there's a whole, especially if there's a group of people opposing one person, for example, in the case of Yosef HaTzadik with his brothers, it was 10 against 1. Sorry, it was 9 against 1. Number 10 was the Shekhinah. They actually pulled Hashem into the deal, and they forced Hashem to agree not to reveal to Yaakov Avinu what happened, etc., etc. They had such power. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, once a person falls into the hands of his enemy, a human enemy, there are very few that have the ability to escape. Rav Nosson Zal brings this from the Zohar HaKadosh. There's a famous Oyer HaChaim HaKadosh. The Oyer HaChaim lived around the time of the Baal Shem Tov. Also related to this, where the Oyer HaChaim speaks about the Pasuk in Chumash, where it says that Yehuda heard the plan that the brothers had, that they wanted to kill Yosef HaTzadik. I'm sorry, not Yehuda, Reuven. Vayishma Reuven, Yehuda heard, Vayatzilehu miyodom, and he rescued Yosef HaTzadik from their hands. How did he rescue him? He said to them, why should we dirty our hands? There's a pit here with snakes. Throw them into the pit. Finished. So the Oyer HaChaim HaKadosh asks, question. The Torah uses the word Vayatzilehu. All of us know Hatzalah means to rescue, to save. This is what you call rescue? This is what you call saving him? That he came up with this great idea, let's throw him into a pit of snakes and scorpions? The Oyer HaChaim HaKadosh says, from here we learn out, and obviously this conforms with the Zohar HaKadosh, this Zohar HaKadosh that we just quoted, that if Yosef HaTzadik had a choice to be with the snakes and scorpions or to be with his brothers, he was safer in the hands of the snakes and scorpions than his brothers. Because a snake or a scorpion can't bite, can't hurt the person, unless a command has been issued by Hashem, unless Hashem says, bite him, kill him. A human being who has free choice has the ability to cause harm or damage to another human being, even if it's not necessarily what Hashem wanted. That's the concept of Bechira, free choice. This is so awesome if you stop to think about this. So now Rav Nosson Zal asks, V'lechoyra einu imuvan klal. This seems impossible to understand, to make sense of. Haloi lefi hadas haposhut, based on ordinary thinking of human beings, nira it would seem obvious, she'aroyos unechoshim heim muodin yoyser lahazik meodom, that lions and snakes are much more likely to harm another human being than a second human being. Vim ha'odom batuach b'ashem yisborach shi'asalei nes v'yatzilei migoyev haroyos, and if a person is confident, if a person is 100% confident in Hashem, that Hashem is going to save him, that Hashem can save him even if he's thrown into a pit of lions or a pit of snakes, mikol shkein sheyiftach b'ashem yisborach she'atzilei mibnei odom, then for sure the person should have the same trust in Hashem, or even more trust and confidence, that Hashem will save him from being harmed by human beings, she'ein mazikin kol kach kmo yaroyos u'nemeirim, who usually are not as destructive as lions and leopards and those things. Interesting question. Rav Nosson Zal says, ach ikar ha'pachad mibnei odom, however, the main fear that we have when we're dealing with a conflict with another human being is based on what we said before. Ki levroyach me hayisurim yefsher ki imal yidei shemistaklin ala tachlis v'kanal. In order for a Jew to escape any kind of suffering, pain, punishment, we said there is a way to do it. If the person is zoichet to look up, to look at the tachlis, to look beyond the physical, materialistic world, to look up to Hashem, and to make a deep connection with Hashem. But we said, avo achakach, but after the person comes down from that connection, after that connection is terminated, mizgabrim ha'isurim b'yoyser, the problems, the suffering, the pain comes back even stronger. Umisnachamim al yedei ha'toyro she'shoyavim yisham kanal. So how does a person console himself then? We said what can help the person at that point is the Torah that he's zocher to bring down with him. After he went up to that very high place of Bitul and connected there, if he made a proper connection, when he comes down, they send him along a doggy bag, lahavdil, which is a package of Torah, and that Torah, revelations of Torah, that can sustain him, that can support him, that can protect him, so that even though that suffering is going to come at him again, with stronger than before, the Torah will protect him. However, we said this is a major battle. Because this suffering and everything, sometimes it's relentless. It won't quit. It'll get whacked, it'll get pushed away, it'll come right back. Another whack, it'll come right back. To the point where it becomes very difficult for the person who's getting hit with this, with these problems and suffering, to be able to withstand the test and to be able to accept all of this pain and suffering and problems with love for Hashem, with complete respect for Hashem. Koroi, as is appropriate, and to realize and to believe that all of this is for my eternal good. This is a favor. This is a benefit to me. And the same thing is true regarding all obstacles and confusion and struggles that a person has in trying to come close to Hashem. Sheze ikar yisurei hodom. That's the real suffering. That's the most important suffering of a person. The suffering that they're going through while trying to come close to Hashem. The obstacles and the falls and everything. Ukishem izgaber aleihem. And when the lefamim, and when the person is zoichet to overcome them at times. Al yidei shemistakel ala tachlis. By being able to look beyond the physical world, beyond the materialistic, and to look up at Hashem, at the highest levels of kindness of Hashem, and to connect there, but Rabbeinu Zal told us clearly that when the person comes back down, when the person comes back down to earth from this spiritual escapade, when he comes back down, the problems come back even stronger. Not like before, they turn the heat up on him. V'chein b'chol pam, and this can go on again and again. U'boze nichshal Eoiv. This is actually what caused Eoiv to stumble and to fall. Kishebo olav ha'isurim, when the suffering came upon him. She'afal pi she'betchilo omad b'nisoyoin, kishenilkach kol ashirusa yubonov, even though after the first round, when all of his wealth and all of his children were taken away from him, he with Rachmona Litzlan, Hashem save us, should never happen to any of us. Even though at that point in time, he passed the test. K'moy Shomar, as it says there in Eoiv, Yehi Shem Hashem Mavoirach, that he said, may the name of Hashem be blessed. And the Torah says there, Bechol zois loy choto Eoiv, that despite all of this, despite losing all of his wealth and all of his children, he did not sin. V'afilu achar kach kishizgabro lo v'sotan b'yoser. And even afterwards, when there was a round two, and the sotan came back even stronger, the kitreg olav kol kach, and prosecuted him so much to Hashem, at sheniten lo rishus lahakoisei begufoi b'yisurim koshim, to the point where the sotan was given permission by Hashem to impose physical bodily suffering on Eov, b'shchinra, that his whole body was covered with boils. Mamash, he was suffering excruciating pain. Afal pikein, despite that, batchilo omad benisoyim tzas, in the beginning, Eov was able to pass the test a little bit. Kamashikosov, as the pasuk says there, b'chol zois loichoto Eov b'sfosov, that despite this punishment and suffering, Eov still did not sin against Hashem with his lips. He didn't say anything against Hashem. Aval achar kach, however, afterwards, his gareboy habaldovor kol kach, the Yetzohoro went at him in such a powerful way, ad shehesiso yalidei toikif hayisurim, to the point where the Yetzohoro seduced him and pushed him through this, based on the severity of the suffering he was going through, ad shehitiach dvorim klapimala, to the point where he spoke out against Hashem, chas v'shalom. V'zeh shekosav, and this is why the pasuk says there, achareichein, after all of this, posach Eov espiu, Eov opened his mouth. Rav Nosson Zal said, look at the words, achareichein, after this, daika. The pasuk is being very specific, meaning, "Hainu achar sheshov mehabitul kama pa'amim." After Eov had succeeded in escaping this pain and suffering several times, each time he got whacked, he turned on the beetle. He went into beetle. He went to that very, very high spiritual place where you don't feel any pain or suffering. There, it's all good, and he was able to bring that, and you bring down Torah with you, etc. I mean, shebechol pam his gabrol of yisurim b'yoyse. Each time the yisurim got worse, ukamoykein his garaboy asotan amesis b'yoyse. And the Yetzirah was teasing him more and more, provoking him to get him to open his mouth and say something nasty about Hashem, chas v'shalom, ad shelo yomad benisoyim, until he finally burst. He finally couldn't hold on anymore, and he couldn't withstand the test, and he opened his mouth. Uposach his piv. Ubishvil zeh, because of this, ha'isurim sheyesh mibnei odom hasoinim koshim beyoyser mishar kol minei isurim. Based on what we just explained, based on what we just told you about Eov, you'll be able to understand why the suffering and the problems that a person has from a human opponent, from a human enemy, are worse and much more difficult than all other types of suffering. Kishom hamelchoma chazoka beyoser. Because when it comes to dealing with a human enemy, a human adversary, there the battle is much harder. Ki b'shar minei yisurim ha'maniyos, because when it comes to all other types of suffering and obstacles, afal pishu melchama gedoyla, even though it's a very difficult battle, it's a big battle, afal pikein, still, yochoy lechazek daitoy, the person can strengthen his, can concentrate, ula histakel ala tachlis, pam achar pam, and keep looking, focusing on the tachlis, not looking at the physical world, not looking at what's going on from physically, but looking at the spiritual, looking at eternity. The fact that I'm going through a couple of minutes or a couple of years of suffering down here, it's a joke. It's not even a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. 100 years, 120 years is nothing. It's like a blink of an eye compared to billions and trillions of years, right? So if you tell somebody, like the doctor tells a child, Rachmana lo yaleinu chas v'shalom, a child gets a terrible cut, and the doctor says, I'm going to have to stitch it up. If you want your this wound to heal, and if you don't want to look terrible for the rest of your life, I'm going to have to take a needle and stick it into your flesh a few times. Go in there again and again and sew it up and try to get the flesh to match up as good as it can so that when it heals well, it doesn't leave a big scar, etc., etc. And the kid looks at the doctor, and the doctor looks at the kid, and the kid thinks for a moment, and he realizes, I hope to be around this joint for about 70 years or 90 years, whatever it is. The doctor's telling me this is going to take 20 minutes, half hour. Is it worth it for me to walk around with open flesh on my hand or my face, wherever it is, chas v'shalom, you know, or a terrible looking scar? Or is it worth it to handle 20 minutes that's going to hurt? What am I going to do? I'll clench my teeth. I'll close my eyes tight as he sticks in that needle, and I'll do the best that I can. You know, I'll do the best that I can. So here again, as a person is going through suffering round, it's possible for a person to look at that tachlis, close his eyes tightly. So he's blocking out the physical, going up to a higher place, spiritual. To the point where a person is successful in bringing down new revelations of Torah from that beetle every single time they go up there. To console him, until the suffering comes to an end, until it's over. Because by the person being able to console himself regarding this suffering, he's able to make it easier. By through the Torah he brings down, and by the fact that he connected to this very high spiritual place, that will give him the stamina and the wherewithal to get rid of the suffering totally, to get it over with completely, whether he'll make it to the end of the suffering or he'll get rid of the suffering. He'll find some way to blow out the suffering totally. Ki hanimshach achar hatzar. Listen to these words now, because Rav Nosson Zal is playing therapist, psychologist, lahavdil. Rav Nosson Zal is teaching us real healing, how to endure pain, how to endure suffering, all the assorted types of suffering of this world, and how to get past it. Rav Nosson Zal says, ki hanimshach achar hatzar, because a person who focuses on the pain, a person who allows himself to get drawn into the pain, you know, where he's getting into it, Hatzar nimshach achrav chasshom. The pain gets worse. He brings more pain upon himself. A person who dwells on the pain, then the pain gets even worse. A person who dwells on the problems that they're having, the problems get bigger. Ulehefech lehefech. Whereas a person who tries to escape, to get rid of the pain, then the opposite. And even a Jew who is not on a level that when he closes his eyes tightly shut and he blocks out the whole physical world and he takes that elevator upstairs, but still he's not on a level to grab Chidushei Torah and bring down new revelations of Torah. This guy doesn't know what a new revelation of Torah is. Yochoy lenachim atzmoi. He still, if he's zoicher to be close to a true tzaddik, then he has the ability to sustain himself and to console himself and to calm himself down by the revelations of Torah that his Rebbe already introduced into the world, that he received from his Rebbe, sheyischatshu etzloi, by the student studying them with a newness, with a freshness, that he's looking at it like he's looking at it for the first time, with that kind of love and respect. V'yargish ne'imus misikusam. And he allows himself to feel the sweetness, the real sweetness of these revelations of Torah, mechadosh, to feel it new, like he's just learning it for the first time. Ze bichlal chidushei Torah kanal. This is also included in the category of new revelations in Torah. When a Jew is zeichet to learn Torah as if it's the first time, he's doing it with that kind of love and respect and excitement and enthusiasm, that is also that he has similar benefits to a tzaddik who's actually on a level to bring forth a brand new concept in Torah that was not yet introduced into the world. This is a very important piece of information that comes up several times in the Sforim, because the Zohar HaKadosh says that one of the most incredible things that a child could possibly do for a parent, especially if the parent is no longer alive, is if the child is zeicher to be mechadesh in Torah. If the child is zeicher to get to a level where he learns Torah so well that he's able to reveal new concepts, new ideas in Torah that were not yet introduced into the world, to write a new sefer or to bring new ideas, that's one of the greatest benefits possible to the soul of parents. And Rav Nosson Zal, when he speaks about this every time, he says, but what about the 99% of us that are not on that level? So we're out? And he says, no. He says, if we study the Torah of the Tzaddik, and we study it like it's new, like the Gemara says a Jew's supposed to learn Torah, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim yu b'necho k'chadoshim. Every time a Jew sits down to learn, it should be like it's the first time, like my first time, that kind of thing. Then that person's learning is also in the category of Chidushei Torah. It might not be exact on the same level as the biggest son, but for his purposes, he has been privileged to perform this item of Chidushei Torah, which besides being a benefit to the individual, this is one of the things that can bump up the soul of his mother or father, you know, to the highest levels. So this is all when a person is going through suffering that does not involve a human adversary. Illness, parnosa, all kinds of different things. Whereas when a person is being opposed by human enemies, there are human enemies making his life miserable, either spiritually, they're going against his religious beliefs, you know, they're trying to fight his religious beliefs, or going against his possession, you know, trying to hurt him in other ways, trying to hurt his family or his house or his possessions, his money, his car, whatever it is. V'oisim lo yisurim, and these people impose suffering on a person. V'roitzim lahatoisim miderech ho'emes, and they're trying to get him to veer off the path of truth. They're trying to get him to lose his faith in Hashem or lose his faith in Tzaddikim, because unfortunately, we've seen in many cases that this is what happens. The Holocaust is a perfect example where we wouldn't call them human, we wouldn't call them humans, we wouldn't call them animals. We don't want to insult the animals. But these things that looked like humans, the Nazis, Yamach Shemon, there were some in the world who would refer to them as humans. When they went against the Jews with that venom, with that incredible hate, the ones that they killed physically were some of the ones that were better off than the thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions that were left behind who lost their faith in Hashem and lost their faith in Tzaddikim by what they witnessed. When they saw these atrocities being perpetrated against what they perceived to be good people, when they saw good people being murdered, hacked to death, gassed, burned alive, all of these things, the majority of people, unfortunately, Rahman al-Islam, lost their faith in Hashem, their faith in Tzaddikim, their faith in Judaism. I don't want it, they didn't want any part of it, Chas v'Shalom, Rahman al-Islam. So Rav Nosson Zal says, when a person has human adversaries, whether they're non-Jews or lahavdil, even Jews in many cases, There are many Jews who another Jew did tzaras to them, and they said, if this is Yiddishkeit, I'm out. Have a nice day. If this is Jews, if this is religious Jews, I don't want any part of it. Chas v'shalom rachmanu litzlan. Oz koshe ma'oid lehinotzel. Then it's very difficult to survive, to win. When a person's going against a human adversary, there the person starts thinking. If a dog is chasing after me, I don't start going into a psychological, you know, or a sociological this thing about the dogs. And it's just, I don't want it to bite me. That's it. But when it's a human adversary, it becomes a whole mind game. And person starts thinking and in their thinking, one of the things that the Yetzer Hara shoots in there is, How about if you walk, how about if you drop Hashem from your life? How about if you drop tzaddikim or drop religion, chas v'shom, from your life? Because wild animals or other types of suffering, like we said, when they engage a person, when a person's going through that kind of problem, that kind of crisis, they're just doing their thing. They want to take a bite out of him, period. Or they want to, you know, whatever it is. However, they don't use sarcasm. They don't make fun of him. When the dog doesn't make fun of the person when he bites him. He just bites him, and that's it. Bit, and now it's over. To try to push the person away from Hashem, chas v'shom. Whereas human enemies, when they rise up against the person to try to make him suffer, and they start making fun, they start mocking him and mocking as his religion, as we had in last week's parsha, right? Remember, the Gemara makes it very clear that this big, big rabbi, Korach, what did he do? Leitzonus. It wasn't just that he opposed Moshe Rabbeinu. He made fun of Moshe Rabbeinu. He made fun of the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the halacha? Ha, 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 ha. Any idiot would know that that can't be the case. This is what Korach was doing all night. A whole night he was doing this, making leitzonus. That's it. That's a different league of test. It's one thing to say, I hate you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to punch you. It's something different when the person undermines your faith in Hashem, your faith in the Torah, your faith in yourself, your faith in your own religious beliefs. As David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Beretzach ba'atzmoisai, with murder in my bones, like when they wanted to kill me, Cherfuni tzoyroi, my enemies insulted me. Well, they didn't just want to kill me, that wasn't enough. Lahavtel, and how many stories do we read? All of these stories of the atrocities with the Nazis, Yamach Shemom, or the Arab terrorists, Yamach Shem, all of these guys. It's not just kill, it's inflict pain, it's make fun. We just read recently, a week or two ago, when the Israeli commandos took over that ship, that flotilla ship. So there were some details that were not in the newspapers that I had received on an email that I shared with some people, where the first guy that jumped off the helicopter, the guy that you see in the picture, I saw this in picture, you know, on TV and everything, you see him jumping off, and you see him surrounded with people with pipes and everything beating the daylights out of him. Then they took him and they threw him overboard from the upper deck to the lower deck, 12 feet. They threw, after beating him to a pulp, then they threw him over to the lower deck because they wanted to kidnap him. They were deciding what to do with him. Then, and one of the guys on the upper deck had stabbed him. So when he got to the lower deck and they saw he was bleeding, obviously from the stab wound, they decided this requires a little more work. So they opened up the cut more, they tore it open more, pulled out his guts and his insides and had that hanging, and then dragged him up on the upper deck to show for his fellow commandos to see their leader in this condition, bleeding with his guts outside. And this commando realized what was going on. Somehow he got away. You can imagine how tough these guys are. Got away, jumped off the boat into the water, and made it to an Israeli patrol boat, and that's how he's alive today. But again, look at the viciousness, look at the ugliness, the evil, to go that far, mocking, jeer, this is the mocking jeer, this is your leader, look what we did to him, to try to break their spirit, because they know that as much as you punch one of these commandos, he'll blow on you, and you'll be flying off the cliff. But you show him such a picture, you show him his leader in pieces, that could chas v'shom break somebody. That could break even somebody made of steel. This is why it's so difficult to be saved, to be rescued from you, to make it out of human enemies. Because they can knock him off track. They can mess up his thinking and cause him to turn away to the point where he will not be able to execute this advice that Rabbeinu Zal gave of focusing on the tachlis, closing your eyes and looking only at Hashem and only at the Torah, you know. And if he can't do that, if he can't follow that advice that Rabbeinu Zal gave us of looking at the Tachlis, then it's possible for him, Chas v'Shalom, to fall into their hands, to be defeated. Now Rav Nosson Zal is getting really serious. This line that we just said, you can underline. Rav Nosson Zal said, it is impossible for a person to be saved from any suffering at all unless the person has the ability to look at the tachlis, to look at the future, to look at the real future, the eternal future, to look at Hashem. That's the only way that a Jew can really save himself from the suffering of this world. And when a person, when it's a human being that's the adversary, and especially, unfortunately, Rahman, if it's a Jew, a religious Jew that's opposing the person, then it becomes even harder for the person to stand his ground and ignore the insults and the sarcasm and everything, and be able to focus on the tachlis, look only at Hashem, and only at the tzaddik, and only at the good. Ki divrei mirmois shelohem, because their ugly words, their sarcastic words and everything, meinim beyoiser min hakoil, are more damaging, more harmful than anything else. And it's because of this point that they have the ability to do more harm than lions and snakes. As the Torah testifies, and again, look who we're talking about here. Look who the enemy is here. We're talking about leading rabbis of the generation. Not today's generation. We're not talking about turkeys. We're talking about the real thing. We're talking about 2,000-3,000 years ago. Reuven ben Yaakov, Shimon ben Yaakov, Levi ben Yaakov. We're talking about rabbis who are billions of levels higher than today's Rosh Yeshivas, Chassidish Rebbe's, Gedolim, Kedoshim, all those people who ask this question today. How could you be Breslev if the Gedolim don't hold from it? The answer is that statement implies such a lack of knowledge of the most basic elements in Judaism. Person saying that hasn't learned Chumash, hasn't read this story, that there was a boy, a young boy called Yosef HaTzadik, who was the leading tzaddik of the generation between him and Yaakov Avinu. They were almost just about equal in being the leading tzaddikim of that generation, who's part of the throne of Hashem, who's on the highest, highest levels that any Jew in the history of the world ever achieved. And his opponents, the ones who said that you can't, that he's wrong, totally wrong, you're not allowed to read his sfarim, were the other leading tzaddikim of the generation, the 12, the tribes, the sons of Yaakov Avinu. Once they came to the conclusion that it's a mitzvah to kill him, etc., just like the rabbis 200 years ago, one or two of them, who wanted to do it to Rav Nosson Zal, and just like some of the rabbis today, who wouldn't mind burning, doing away with Breslov or similar things, or Hasidim, or etc., etc., each one based on what they oppose, you know, what they have a problem with. How do you like that?